Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, you guys, we have a very fun episode for you. We get into lots of topics. I think we cover quite a lot of ground, Lauren, don't we?
We cover quite a lot of ground. You guys, our favorite blondies, we do talk about them a little bit. We get into Gwyneth. We get into Taylor. Mm-hmm. We also chat Dave Portnoy, his recent comments regarding Kim Kardashian going to the Taylor Swift concert and what he would do, you know, if he was Taylor and Kim ever showed her face at the Eras Tour.
We also detail Lizzo and the accusations against her, as well as our remarks and condolences about Justin Trudeau and Sophie Trudeau's divorce.
Yes, that dissolution. So anyway, you guys, Jenna, what did you think? Did you think this was a fun episode to record?
I loved it. I thought it was great. I think we literally got into almost everything under the sun.
And honestly, I felt like it was a really fun episode. So I think you guys are going to love it. Listen to the end, because at the end, we do have a fun little announcement or a fun little reminder. And with that, you guys, thanks for being Pop Apologists. Enjoy the episode.
Well, well, well.
Hi.
Greetings from Montauk, New York.
Oh my gosh. Another vacation, Chandler.
I know. I'm a glutton and I so far could not be more in love with Montauk.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
Tell me more about Montauk, because I feel like my only initiation with Montauk was the delicious affair on The Affair.
Okay. It's funny you say that, because I did make the friends watch the first episode of The Affair last night, and I have forgotten how intense and frankly sexually explicit that pilot episode is.
Oh my gosh.
I multiple times had to say, like, I've kind of forgotten how intense this is. On every level, it's very intense. But yes, the show The Affair with Dominic West is set in Montauk, and it's a great show. Okay, so let me back up. This is where I'm going to sound really annoying. I've been to Nantucket. I've been to Martha's Vineyard. This year we decided to do Montauk. And I would say that Montauk is so far my favorite of the East Coast beach destinations.
Okay, what? Well, I'm sorry. Just say, I'm like going to pee my pants.
For different reasons.
Okay.
Nantucket was my favorite and still is favored for certain reasons, but I think that Montauk has a lot more shopping and slash like East Hampton, which is like the neighboring town. So like Nantucket has pretty limited shops, but very like they're limited. Great. They're very quaint. But like, for example, here there's a, these are not shops that I regularly go to, but it is cool to have like these types of shops, but they have like Gucci and Prada and Chanel and like, I don't even know how you say it, but like Loewe or whatever.
Loewe.
Loewe, yeah. So it has like a lot of beautiful shopping. And then if you get further down into really the end, which is what they call it, Montauk, it's more quaint and it's a little bit more neighborhoody, I would say. I don't know. So far, I just really like it. I definitely now like I understand the draw here. And it's like more you of understand a casual beach town.
Amagansett is so fucking expensive. Excuse me. No, literally.
Yes. Yes. This is what the town
How do you pronounce it?
I don't know, but like it's all about like we were shopping around Gwyneth yesterday. Oh, really? Okay.
Yes.
That totally makes sense, because all the shopping there is very cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, like very, very cool shopping and food places. Every shop that I went into, like the prices were about four times what I would pay, what I would pay at the top end of my budget. Like, I went into a vintage store yesterday where no t-shirt was sub $120.
I honestly, I yearn for the day when I have a Black American Express and I just spend money like it's nothing, like it's water, like it's just endless.
It would be easy to do here. I didn't know that this is where she lives. I fully understand. And I think like this is more, I would say, of an understated she, whereas Nantucket's just full she.
Okay.
Whereas I would say, Amagansett is who knows very, very cool. It. Yeah. It's beautiful. So so far loving it.
And Blythe have a house on Amagansett. So that's some fun facts, which actually brings me, Chandler, to my pop apology of the week.
Okay.
So this segment, everyone, is basically what Chandler and I apologize for being obsessed with. And also, in the words of our father, we actually don't apologize for it.
I don't apologize.
Maybe the Reddit rabbit hole we've spent 30 hours on. Whatever it is that week in pop culture, in life, that we are obsessed with, and we feel the need to give a non-apology for. So this week, I want to tell everyone that I apologize. I give a pop apology for all of my Gwyneth apologism on stories. So Chandler, you can't see our stories right now because you've deleted Instagram, right?
What is going on?
Don't worry. Don't worry. I'm barely on it. I'm barely doing anything. But I was chatting about Gwyneth.
Okay.
And I was comparing her as a talent to the likes of Sophia Richie, to the likes of Hailey Bieber.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yep.
And I was basically saying that when we're talking about Nepo babies, there's a huge variation in terms of privilege, but also talent, output, professional achievement.
Right.
And I'm less interested in people that are like just influencers with brand decks and teams of professionals behind them, like born into extreme wealth, than I am in AKA normal influencers like us, people with actual constraints, people living normal lives, and also people like Gwyneth who didn't always have everything. Right. So anyway, I want to tell
I feel like Gwyneth had everything from the beginning.
Well, see, that is what a lot of people said in the DMs. They were like, Lauren, how could you say that? She was the daughter of a director, a famous actress. She went to private schools. She had it all. Here's the thing about Gwyneth that I want to say. This is my Gwyneth apology for the week. Gwyneth, when she dropped out of UCSB, her dad said, that's fine, enjoy. But, and this is a, you know, I've read a direct quote from her. So this is not just like my own fan fiction.
Okay.
Her dad said.
Which we would gladly write.
For sure. Oh my gosh. Gwyneth Paltrow erotica is fully something I should probably, you know, put on my list of to-dos.
Yeah, that's untapped for us, but we could certainly pen it.
There would be no sex in Gwyneth Paltrow erotica. It would just be like her dancing on the beach of Montauk, being poured a magnum of champagne over her head naked.
Or it would be her in her kitchen or spa, like enjoying the finest and most expensive of all Erewhon products.
Oh my gosh, that is what I would, yeah. Anyway, so when Gwyneth dropped out of UCSB to become an actress, her dad said, that's great, but we're not going to help you at all. And she says, she was like, yeah, right. So apparently, though, he was like, no, for real. And she got a job as a hostess at a restaurant.
Really?
Yeah, she got a job as a hostess at a restaurant. She said she would walk to Starbucks because it would save on gas. She literally like was not supported at all by her parents. And she said, I've never taken a dime from them since. Yeah. And so she got roommates. She saved on gas to walk to Starbucks so she could get her $5 coffee. I mean, relatable.
Literally.
Yeah. And she like fully has had a normal job. She's fully had to earn her own money. And one time, apparently, she was super down and out. And she called her dad and was like, Dad, I am broke. Can you please help me out? And he was like, you're welcome to come here for some dinner. But no.
This is fan fiction for us. I don't know why.
How do you not know this?
Well, A, maybe because she always speaks so highly of her father. I just assumed that it was a David Foster situation, not to compare, you know, Bruce Paltrow to David Foster, but, you know, that there was a gravy train associated with their love. And the fact that this is a bootstrapping tale, I mean, as if I could love this woman anymore.
As if you could love her more. But here's also what I want to say. Apart from that, let's just say that we want to ignore that very real part of her history, okay?
Right.
and we want to rewrite history to that she's just always been handed everything. She still had to perform well in an audition. She still had to win that Oscar on her own. She's a gifted actress and gifted entrepreneur. That is not the same as Hailey Bieber. That is not the same as Sophia Richie. As much as I think those girls are fab, I'm just not as intrigued by them. And that's what I don't apologize for this week.
I would even say Hailey Bieber is an entrepreneur.
Oh, but for sure.
All of them, Sophia Richie pales in comparison. She's not even in the same league, in my opinion.
I'm just going to say it. It's fine if you create a huge business or a brand. It's great, no matter what.
Sure.
But literally, these are white-labeled products, right? Celebrities just slap their name on.
Right.
They put their own branding.
Totally.
It is not real. It is not like Hailey Bieber has her own formulas, allegedly.
Totally.
There is variations of white labeling, and white labeling is fine. It's a way people do business.
Right.
It's not a problem. But it's just like, I'm sorry, but I am 100% sure that this business started in the lap of luxury and excess and money and teams. And it was not like she had to bootstrap and go on Shark Tank or whatever. I was about to call it Shark Daddy. It's not like she had to go on Shark Daddy and beg for money to start her skincare business that she created out of her house. Like, I'm just not that impressed.
Absolutely. No, and I think Hailey Bieber pales in comparison to Gwyneth Paltrow. Let me make that extremely clear. Because I think Goop is a truly, truly successful like venture. You know, it's more than just a skincare line. It's everything to me. It's a Netflix show. And on top of that, she's a very talented actor.
Yes, exactly. And last thing I'll say, if your business started with a team of professionals creating a brand deck for you, then I'm just not as impressed as everyone like us who had to get scrappy and do it all by ourselves. Okay?
Okay.
So I don't apologize, in the words of our father.
I do not apologize.
Lauren, thank you for that diatribe. I have been renewed in my faith in Gwyneth Paltrow, and I continue to worship at her feet. I guess my apology for the week is I don't apologize for obnoxiously summering on the East Coast.
And as you shouldn't, okay? I honestly think if we learned anything from Barbie, which I didn't completely hate everyone, it's that as women, we should revel in our excess and we should stop apologizing for it.
Okay? Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, let's get into it.
Let's get into it. We have a lot on the docket and we need to maybe stop talking about Gwyneth Paltrow so much. That was maybe a note we received.
We did get some learnings back from our network about 1 month in particular where all of our episodes were heavy with Gwyneth Paltrow content, like all four episodes of the month.
There was 1 month last year where your data, your stats actually went down. And it just so happened to be the month where you had four back-to-back episodes about Gwyneth Paltrow. We were like, oh, we did?
What's funny is that was just straight up non-intentional.
Not intentional at all. Can I talk to you about a product that you love, that Courtney loves, and that I love?
Please.
Early Bird CBD Gummies are so phenomenal, everyone. They are the perfect 2.5 milligrams of THC and 12.5 milligrams of CBD. So this concoction, it gives you the warmest, gooeyest feeling.
They have the magic formula. I love the watermelon flavor. That's my favorite. I also love using them when I know I need to get a good night's sleep and I can sleep in.
You guys, we love Early Bird CBD so much. We reached out to them to see if they'd be interested in sponsoring the show because we were like, these products, these gummies, everyone needs to know about them. We're going to tell them about them anyway. So maybe we can get paid to do it. And honestly, we just cannot recommend them enough. We have a link in our show notes. You can go to earlybirdcbd.com. Use code popapologist20 for 20% off. earlybirdcbd.com, popapologist20 for 20% off. Do yourself a favor. Try the gummies.
They ship to all 50 states, everybody.
You got to try it. Earlybirdcbd.com.
Lauren, as we made our descent into New York, you know, from our beloved Guana Island trip, I got excited thinking about coming home to like my more simple routine food, like my Clean Simple Eats protein powder.
Yeah, I feel like it's such a good staple because the protein powder, if you blend it with ice and water, you got a vanilla frosty, essentially, if you like the Simply Vanilla. If you get chocolate brownie batter, you've got a chocolate frosty. You could do the mint chocolate chip, you got a thin mint frosty, or you just dissolve it in milk or water, and that also strangely tastes really good, like chocolate milk. It's a super fast, easy, quick snack. Also, I just love that the ingredients are clean, they're grass-fed. It's 20 grams of protein for 110 calories. It is just the best protein powder out there.
Everyone, go to cleansimpleeats.com and use the promo code POPAPOLOGIST for 10% off. That's POPAPOLOGIST for 10% off.
cleansimpleeats.com, POPAPOLOGIST for 10% off. So, Chandler, this week, I feel like you have a lot of hard-hitting news that you need to deliver.
Yeah.
So I want you to take the floor first. What do you want to talk about?
Well, let's get into major news that broke last week about Lizzo, all right?
Okay.
So Lizzo has been accused of sexual harassment by three former dancers, all right? And this has been formalized in a lawsuit. Okay, so to be extremely clear, Lizzo has been accused of a hostile work environment, sexual harassment, and false imprisonment, which is kind of a big question mark. So Lizzo, her dance captain, Shirlene Quigley, and her production company, Big Girl Big Touring, were all named in a lawsuit filed by three dancers who had worked on the artist's 2022 to 2023 tour. These dancers' names are Crystal Williams, Ariana Davis, and Noelle Rodriguez. And they all allege that Lizzo and Quigley, her dance captain, sexually harassed them and created this hostile work environment. They also accuse Quigley of religious harassment and Lizzo, whose birth name is Melissa Vivian Jefferson, of disability discrimination and assault. Quite the charges.
I mean, isn't Lizzo, and I don't know that much about Lizzo. I think the only song I know about her is like To Be Loved. I'm sure I would recognize more, but I've never really deep dived into the Lizzo discography and canon. Anyway, isn't she like famous for being very accepting, like very all about women, very all about body positivity,
confidence, like owning it. This is especially shocking news because she is like women champion.
Yeah, I mean, you can understand, I think, why fans would be correctly feeling betrayed here, because it's like, I thought this was everything you stood against.
Right. So let me just say that when I first heard this, I kind of thought, okay, this is a cash grab. I can't imagine Lizzo, exactly what you're saying, this just goes against everything, you know, you believe.
We know about this woman.
Right. And I think, too, I know that this isn't correct, but I think it's always shocking when we see female sexual harassment.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I know it happens, but it's always a little shocking. Yeah. Definitely happens, but it's just always more shocking. Okay, so let's get into it. So the dancers allege that while touring with Lizzo, the singer exposed them to, quote, an overtly sexual atmosphere and pressured them to attend outings where nudity and sexuality were a focal point. And they said that dancers who attended these outings seem to have greater job security and favoritism. And there's one specific event that is cited, which occurred in Amsterdam. And I guess I'll say this is a pretty graphic retelling. So if you have sensitive ears or if you're not interested in hearing about this, you know, skip. But basically, this event took place at a nightclub in Amsterdam's Red Light District. Are you familiar with the Red Light District, Lauren?
I have never been, but I've heard all about it.
Yeah. So the Amsterdam
Red Light
District.
Too serene a joy to go to Red Light District.
I also remember on my study abroad when we were in Amsterdam, I think a few people went just to kind of check it out. Like, I mean, and I didn't go, but I've just heard, you know, there's like women in windows who are workers, and it's the sex district is what they call it.
I think if I go through like an anthropological phase, I would go to the Red Light District just to like see humanity in various states. But for me, it's just like not something that I don't really want to see that.
Honestly, on a smaller level, I guess I'll say, I think sometimes Las Vegas has this energy, obviously, and it kind of sometimes makes me sick to my stomach and just feel sometimes kind of sad. It doesn't necessarily give me the most warm and sex positive feelings.
Right, right.
So while they were in the Red Light District, they went to this particular club that has a live sex show, all right? And part of that sex show involves bananas. And part of the show was these performers inserting a banana into their vagina. And these dancers allege that Lizzo pressured them into participating with those performers in a way they didn't feel comfortable with. And I'll let everyone, you know, infer in their own way what that could have entailed.
Okay, well, I'm just going to cut to the chase here because I did read a few articles about this. Mm-hmm. And can I just explain what happened?
You can. It literally makes me like I'm embarrassed to even say it because I
say it out loud.
It's my Mormon upbringing, but I'm like, oh, I don't want to say that out loud.
Okay. So please, this is your moment. I'm sure everyone's learned to turn off Pop Apologist if children are in the car or, you know, use your trusty AirPods. So assuming no children can hear this, so leave a beat to turn it off. Please turn it off. So what happened? What they allege is that in these sex shows, there was like a banana coming out of one of the sex workers' vaginas. Mm-hmm. And literally Lizzo pressured her employees to eat, to take mm-hmm. a bite of that banana coming mm-hmm. out of the sex worker's mm-hmm. vagina.
Like one by one.
That is the most degrading thing right. I have ever heard of.
It's degrading if it's coming from your employer and you don't want to do it. It's fine if you want to do that. But if this yeah. is coming from a person of power telling you to do that, I mean, that is where this is just so beyond reproach. And it is really disgusting, frankly.
I'm sorry. I had a little chuckle because can I tell a quick story?
I mean, I guess. I don't know where this is going to go.
All I want to say is that I think that when you're an employee, a lot of times like boundaries get blurred as friends/bosses. Mm-hmm. And it can become very hard, especially when you're on offsites and especially when things get right. a little rowdy, to not feel a lot of pressure mm-hmm. to maybe do something you don't want to do. And I remember right. there was this one time I was on this work trip to China and I had this really hilarious boss. And I like, no, this story, I'm not talking shit or anything at all. But I had this really hilarious boss. And what he had done is there was some like Chinese businessman that he wanted. He was kind of like wanting to impress. It was a funny part of the story. He had his friend who was like this Utah rock climber friend who happened to be in town and also worked in manufacturing. He had this friend come to the dinner and pretend to be also someone who wanted to invest in his business. So that way, like, it just seemed to this Chinese business person that this, like, you know, there was competition here of who's going to get in the round or whatever. Yeah. So that part was hilarious. But then also this Chinese business person, we were in China, I think I said that, he brought this wine, and it was called Mao Tai. It's a rice wine, hard liquor. It wasn't a wine. It was like a rice wine, hard liquor. And he poured it for everyone and it tasted appallingly gross. It tasted like nail polish remover. All I remember is that this investor that my boss wanted to impress kept pouring this liquor and I mm-hmm. kept drinking it because it would have been rude to stop.
Right.
And my point being is like, I didn't want, and I remember I've never been more hungover or felt more disgusting in my entire life after getting completely wasted on this Mao Tai, but I could not have said no in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The investor's there, he's pouring it. It's a gift for us. Right. So rude to say no to gifts in China. So I fully understand being in a situation, and that's on a small scale where you're like, I don't want to put this in my body anymore, but I can't not.
Right. This will be wildly uncomfortable if I say no. And not only that, but there will be ramifications.
Repercussions. And, I won't be invited to the next fun dinner. Right, I'm not going to be part of the inner circle.
Yeah.
And it will have impact. And so anyway, that's just a small scale thing that I experienced. So I completely relate to these people.
So one of the accusations against her dance captain is religious harassment. And this is because I guess the dance captain, Shirlene Quigley, like was rude to some of these backup dancers for being, quote, non-believers. And if you go to her Instagram, she's very, very religious. And obviously there's nothing wrong with being highly religious, but you cannot bring that into a professional work setting and then criticize people for not sharing your religious beliefs. Like, it's definitely like lines were being blurred left and right.
Right. Absolutely.
And okay. So now I'm going to get into some people who have come forward who are not a part of this lawsuit, who have backed up these stories. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So Lizzo's former creative director, Quinn Wilson, showed support for Davis, Williams, and Rodriguez. Those are the people in the lawsuit. And she wrote on her Instagram story, "I very much applaud the dancers' courage to bring this to light, and I grieve parts of my own experience. I'd appreciate the space to understand my feelings." Courtney Hollenquest, who also used to dance for Lizzo, took to Instagram to applaud the plaintiff, saying, "I'm not part of the lawsuit, but this was very much my experience in my time there." She wrote this on her story. And, okay, Continuing on, director Sophia Nahali Allison shared on her Instagram. So she was traveling with Lizzo all around because she was filming a documentary all about the singer, but she walked away after 2 weeks. And so she wrote on her Instagram, she said, "I was treated with such disrespect by her. I witnessed how arrogant, self-centered, and unkind she is. I was not protected and was thrown into a shitty situation with little support. My spirit said, run as fast as you fucking can. And I'm so glad I trusted my gut."
I just think that, like, it's one thing for one person or two people to throw out some allegations. Mm-hmm. But when all these people are, like, sounding the alarm and saying right. this is correct, this is so bad for Lizzo, her brand, everything.
Right. I also want to say these people are publicly coming forward. They're not a part of the lawsuit. They mm-hmm. don't stand to necessarily gain anything. Coming forward. Exactly. Also, these are people who knew her in different capacities. This mm-hmm. is her creative director. This is a documentarian or a director. And this isn't just like backup dancers who she mistreated because she, you know, she was in a position of power over them. These are people who worked with her in all different ways, corroborating this story.
Here's also what I want to say. These people, they all are in the business of working with people like Lizzo, right? Creative right. directing for celebrities.
Right.
Doing, you know, they're employed by celebrities. So they don't really want to be on the record having slammed a former
right,
person
right.
that they've been, you know, paid by. Mm-hmm. Because why mm-hmm. does the next person want to take the risk on this mm-hmm. loud mouth? So these mm-hmm. people are putting their necks out a little bit.
Absolutely. So I want to get into Lizzo's apology. And I want to begin this apology regaling with a quote from my favorite writer, Hunter Harris.
Okay.
And she says, quote, "Whenever the Notes app is opened, critical thinking has closed," end quote.
Oh my gosh. It's so true. And it's so good. What's up with the Notes app apology is just so tacky. It's like, send it to a graphic designer, please. Right.
Her other theory about Notes app apologies is that they're always written by talent. They're not written by PR agencies, which is why they are such a mess.
For sure. I love it.
I'm going to read Lizzo's apology. All right.
Okay. Okay.
So buckle in. "These last few days have been gut-wrenchingly difficult and overwhelmingly disappointing. My work ethic, morals, and respectfulness have been questioned. My character has been criticized. Usually, I choose not to respond to false allegations, but these are as unbelievable as they sound and are too outrageous to not be addressed. These sensationalized stories are coming from former employees who have already publicly admitted that they were told their behavior on tour was inappropriate and unprofessional. I am not here to be looked at as a victim, but I also know that I am not the villain that people and the media have portrayed me to be these last few days. I'm very open with my sexuality and expressing myself, but I cannot accept or allow people to use that openness to make me out to be something I am not. There is nothing I take more seriously than the respect we deserve as women in the world. I know what it feels like to be body shamed on a daily basis and would absolutely never criticize or terminate an employee because of their weight. As an artist, I've always been very passionate about what I do. I take my music and my performances seriously because at the end of the day, I only want to put out the best art that represents me and my fans. With passion comes hard work and high standards. Sometimes I have to make hard decisions, but it's never my intention to make anyone uncomfortable or like they aren't valued as an important part of the team. I'm hurt, but I will not let the good work I've done in the world be overshadowed by this. I want to thank everyone who has reached out in support to lift me up during this difficult time."
So that was time for her.
A few things I want to note here and talk about. The only thing that she really directly denies is firing or criticizing employees based on their weight. Okay. That's okay. The only thing that she like kind of addresses head on. And then I think the other real like issue with this apology is that she says, "I'm very open about my sexuality," which seems mm-hmm. to like sort of dismiss these sexual assault or sexual, you know, harassment claims. And I think that is something that a PR agency hopefully would have like red X'd or like blacked out in this draft of an apology.
That's like literally admitting guilt.
Right, right.
"I'm very open with my sexuality."
I just think at the end of the day too, it's very long. It's a little bit all over the place where she's like, "I'm hurt. These people were, you know, publicly have already come forward and said that they were inappropriate. There's nothing more important than the work we do as women," or blah, blah, blah. And so I think she is kind of going all over the place with like semantics to try to deflect from the actual issues. And if I were her PR agency, I would have had a much shorter, much tighter statement.
Also, if I was her PR agency, my entire statement would have been taking accountability and apologizing, because it's like she's already admitting guilt in this notes app apology. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, I'm sorry, but people, the path of atonement, right? Like the way that people forgive is when you mm-hmm. actually take accountability for your
right,
actions.
Right.
I mean, look at like someone like Louis C.K. He's back mm-hmm. in business. He is fully going. Most people don't get canceled forever. And so right. I think that if Lizzo wants to resurrect her career as fast as possible, she needs to just straight up apologize.
Totally.
And say, I think that I got to a place where I thought certain things were appropriate mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and I forgot and didn't really let it sink in that this power dynamic right. was there. Right. And I am so sorry. And I should not have treated my employees with this disrespect and like my friends. You know what I mean? Like there's a way to do yeah. it that makes it much more kind of understandable, but also takes accountability.
I think too, people would to some degree understand that lines can get blurred when you're traveling mm-hmm. with people, when you're drinking in excess, when you've, you know, you've sure. been with them for years.
I mean, I've said and done inappropriate things and
yeah, we know you, Lord knows you have. The last thing I want to say before we move on is I think it's also hilarious, and Hunter Harris called this out as well, that she says, I am not the villain here, because I think that is like not the contrite spirit that you need to have when you're being accused of these things. When you are the leader of this organization and of your production company and of your dance captain, to say I am not the villain here is just, I think it's extremely immature and short-sighted.
Well, and also it's like you should say it's been quite a journey to become what I am today. And in mm-hmm. my head, I might think of myself as just a fellow girlfriend, homie, right. can shoot this shit, can say whatever I want, right. can say inappropriate things because these are my friends. Mm-hmm. And I have become so misguided in the way that I have used my power,
right.
you know, not recognized my power, et cetera, et cetera. Like, I think there's a much better way to say it. And so,
absolutely.
Yeah, and what an idiot.
At the end of the day, she's in charge of everything. The buck stops with her. It's her responsibility to make sure that everything from her down, you know, is handled professionally and is done above board. And so for her to say, I'm not the villain here is terrible.
Yeah, it is terrible.
Okay.
I just want to say when I was saying that I've said inappropriate things, like I've said inappropriate things at work as an employee. I don't think I've ever said inappropriate things as an actual employer. But yeah. as an employee, I might have gotten like too rowdy, said things that were inappropriate, which is very different.
Yeah. No one's perfect.
Okay. So should we get into other topics, Chandler?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Lauren, the wall behind you, it's quite barren. What's going on there?
You know what? I find getting things framed to be very stressful. And so I've just never done it. I don't basically have anything framed in my home. And it's sad for me.
It's very sad, which is why we are so lucky to be sponsored by Framebridge right now.
Yes, I am so excited to correct this wrong in my life. What's so great about Framebridge is for other people also intimidated by a gallery wall, if you go on their website, you can just very quickly, easily upload like 5 photos or whatever it is, and they will send you different dimensioned, cute frames, beautiful, sleek, modern, so you can just hang your gallery wall and it's good to go.
They make it very easy on a layperson like yourself. Everyone, see why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit 1 million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Okay, Chandler, let's take a minute break from this episode and chat Casita Jewelry, because I am so, so excited that they are a sponsor this month.
I was just admiring how beautiful we both look in the long dangly earrings. Like, come on.
Okay. The long dangly earrings, I will do a full diatribe on Instagram why they are perfection.
Yeah.
All I will say, they're a perfect way to have a statement earring while also being dainty. So anyways, I just want to say this month, everyone, at CasitaJewelry.com, you can get 30% off. 30% is huge.
That's a huge discount. On jewelry, yes. Especially. Yeah.
Fine jewelry. Also, she has vacation jewelry. So jewelry that's way less expensive mm-hmm. that you can wear and not worry about so much. So there's tons on the site. There's stuff of all ranges.
My tennis bracelet is also included in this.
You can get your tennis bracelet, diamond 1-carat tennis bracelet, for around $1,400.
Like, it's crazy.
Originally $2,100.
I think I need two. I think I need to buy another one.
I think you do. The exact bracelet I gave Chandler for being my maid of honor. It's just like our friendship bracelet, essentially. I have one too. And so if you want a diamond tennis friendship bracelet like the Pop Apologist, go to casitojewelry.com. Pop Apologist, use that code for 30% off. This is only during August and it's while mm-hmm. supplies last. And the last thing I'll say is that this jewelry brand was started by my friend Sarah. And Sarah truly has the best taste in jewelry of anyone I know. She's curated the most amazing collection. And so you really, if you go there, you're going to know that everything is on point, on trend, but also like really unique and special.
Yeah. Yeah.
My diamond snake huggies are on there, diamond tennis bracelet, so much good stuff. So anyway, you're welcome, everyone. 30% off. Use code Pop Apologist.
So everyone, you are welcome for this beautiful, truly stunning, I would say, jewelry discount. Go to casitajewelry.com, use code POPAPOLOGIST for 30% off. You're welcome.
You're welcome is right.
All right, Lauren. So you may have seen that our favorite girl next to Gwyneth Paltrow, Taylor Allison Swift, handed out $100,000 bonuses to truckers, totaling $55 million. Can you believe that?
Okay, so I saw a TikTok by a girl. Was it her uncle? I think it's her uncle.
Her uncle is the lead driver.
The lead driver. So she texted to verify. He did not get a $100,000 bonus. He got a $200,000 mm-hmm. bonus. Mm-hmm. And I just think like, it's so special that she did this. It's so cool. And one of the things I saw someone wrote online that I really agreed with is that most of these people that work in these professions, they are not used to a $100,000 bonus.
No.
They might get a $5,000 or a $10,000 right. bonus. So this is life-changing money for them. This mm-hmm. is money that can kickstart or hugely enrich their retirement.
Right.
This is money that can build a pool for their grandkids to swim in. Mm-hmm. This is mm-hmm. just like true, real life-changing money.
Right.
And it is so heartwarming.
Yeah. So wait, did you see what that girl's TikTok also said about what all the truckers did for Taylor?
You can share that because I can't remember exactly.
Okay. So the gal on TikTok, her name is at Kate Mess. So everyone can look it up. But yeah, like we said, her uncle is the head driver for the Eras Tour. And basically all of the truck drivers on the last day of her tour before heading to LA for all the SoFi Stadium shows, all of the drivers went out and clapped as Taylor's limo drove out of the stadium. And then Scott Swift, okay, Taylor's father, then called her uncle, the lead driver, and said, "Taylor is sobbing. Thank you so much. She is so touched." And then the bonuses happened like within a few hours of that. And Taylor gave them all handwritten notes, also included a wax seal, which Joe Peacock said was a little over the top, but she is nothing if not over the top.
She's our queen of cringe. Okay.
Literally.
And we just love her for it because we all have that cringy girl inside of us and I'm obsessed.
I know. I know. And I think, yeah, like, oh yeah, it's funny. The bonuses were no joke and each check came with a handwritten thank you note from Taylor and a corresponding tax document.
Oh, wait, like because they had to
Because you have to pay taxes. You have to pay taxes on a big bonus. So,
well, I'm sure that came from her legal team. Mm-hmm, I'm sure she was not like, you know, let's also hit them with the taxes.
Right.
And so many people will be like, oh, this is a big tax scheme on her part. So she doesn't have to pay.
Wait,
she would still get to keep half that money.
So it's so funny that you say that. I was at a coffee shop the other day. I haven't told you this yet.
Oh my gosh.
I do keep some secrets from you. I was at a coffee shop getting a latte with Ben and the two baristas were talking about Taylor and they were saying, oh, you know, like I'm saving up. I want to go. She just released more dates. I'm getting on the whatever wait list or pre-order, whatever. And this older gentleman, probably in, you know, late 50s, early 60s, said, he goes, oh, this is just her way of, you know, getting rid of some of her wealth, offsetting her wealth or some tax term for basically like giving away your money so you don't have to pay taxes on it. And I was just like, you know what? That's a really sad way to look at the world and hurt people, hurt people. And I had actually left the coffee shop after that because it left such a bad taste in my mouth. And I didn't want to get into a heated discourse with this man.
I would have started screaming at that guy.
I know.
So unhinged. That's the difference between you and me. It's like, I would have said something. I would have gotten into a physical fight.
Yeah. I mean, I truly have said this before. Your opinion about Taylor Swift says more about you than it does about Taylor. And the fact that this is the takeaway for some men is disgusting.
Here's what I want to say about this. There's actually very legal ways to pay little on taxes. One is to create a church, okay, and funnel a bunch of money through your church, which is probably illegal if someone actually does this, but it's super shady and people do it.
Let the record state, if Taylor Swift were to start a mega church of some sort, a la Joel Osteen, I would join. I would buy the tapes. I would join. There.
Mm-hmm. And we would want her to keep all her money if that's what she wanted. But anyway... I also want to say that you can create foundations, you can create charities, right. And these are tax exempt. Why do you think Bill Gates, why do you think the Obamas have foundations? Mm-hmm. Now, all the money is supposed to go towards the betterment of society, whatever. I'm not a tax attorney, but there are ways to keep the money, way more of it.
Right.
And basically say like, well, I'd rather be the person making the decisions on how this money is going to get filtered down rather than the government, which I'm not always going to say is the worst idea. Maybe Bill Gates and Obama are better.
Does Taylor Swift even have a charity?
Oh, you know who has a church? Kris Jenner. Kris Jenner has a church.
She does?
Yes. Oh my gosh, you didn't know this?
No.
Kris Jenner has a church. It's open for an hour and a half every week on Sundays. It's not even where her kids go to worship. Her kids go to Sunday service and that other church that Hailey Bieber goes to and Justin Bieber. Mrs. Dow Jones has a whole reel about it. This is known information.
There is
a church that Kris Jenner owns. And what is believed and alleged is that the daughters give 10% of their income to it pre-tax. Mm-hmm. And it is an interesting thing that Kris Jenner owns.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. I also think it's interesting that that really hasn't been featured on the show.
Of course it hasn't. Mm-hmm. Do you think that when you have an alleged tax shelter,
right. You're
like, let's make an episode about how we're cheating the IRS?
It's crazy. I had no idea. They've done a good job of hiding that.
Also, this is all alleged and could be totally false. And we were talking about public figures under our First Amendment rights.
Yes.
I did receive a DM from a former employee of the Kardashians.
Okay.
These employees allegedly are underpaid.
Fully believe it.
Don't have benefits, are just treated terribly.
Yep.
One employee told me the story of being ridiculed at a dinner by I can't say because it was all like, please don't share. So I need to just keep it that opaque. But I just think that when there's smoke, there's fire. And sometimes the fire are the flames of generosity. Are jewels getting melded in the furnace of Taylor Swift to bejewel her truck drivers with $100,000 or $200,000? And then there's the fires of hell that some smoke comes out of. And those could be the DMs coming to us from former employees of the Kardashians.
Right. You know, it's just interesting. Like, I know Tree Payne is an expert at her craft, but Tree Payne is Taylor Swift's PR person and has been forever. But I think it's interesting. There's really no stories of Taylor Swift being a terrible person to work with.
No. She's a truly kind-hearted woman. Yes.
One quick thing I forgot to say about Lizzo that I think is very telling. Okay. Mm-hmm. Beyonce, basically immediately after all these accusations came out, Beyonce has a lyric in one of her songs that references Lizzo. She changed the lyric while performing it, which goes to show that maybe she knew, or that, you know, I think that there would be another way to remain neutral, to maybe remix the song, but to change the name is pretty telling.
It's absolutely telling that she chose to do that, because she could have just sang the lyric.
Right.
But I think choosing to change the lyric and actively performing a different lyric, that Chandler is standing with the plaintiff and not the defendant.
Beyonce wants to be on the right side of history. As
case closed.
Speaking of cruel summers and Taylor Swift, but mostly cruel summers, this is the summer of divorce, Lauren, as it's been called, as it's been hailed. Mm-hmm. And we are seeing another union dissolve, another dissolution, and that is of Drustin and Sophie Trudeau.
I have to tell you, this is so embarrassing. And this is why no one should care about my political opinions.
Yeah.
Because I fully, when I saw this on the outline, I was like, oh, isn't that the guy who married his teacher? And so when I went to get the scoop on
– You didn't know who Justin Trudeau was?
I did, but I just – I don't know. I just thought
– As a connoisseur of male beauty.
I knew who Justin Trudeau was, but I didn't know if he was the one who was married to his teacher or I didn't know much about his marriage.
Who's the guy who's married to his teacher?
Emmanuel Macron is married to his 25 years senior. Yes, the president of France is married to his teacher. Okay. She's 25 years his senior and fully was his teacher. There's a funny quote. He says, she wasn't really my teacher. She was my drama teacher.
It's hilarious. Anyway, teachers everywhere are offended.
Are rejoicing at the ability, I guess, to sexually harass with impunity. Anyway, sorry, I've interrupted you.
In the style of Lizzo, he took to a notes app announcement. To talk about their separation. And this is really sad because they've been married for, I think they got married in 2005. So what is that, 18 years? Mm-hmm. That's pretty long, you know, I'll say. And
it's very long.
It's very long, especially to be married to someone in a really high pressure job. And they have several kids. His dad actually was also the prime minister. I don't know if you knew that. But, you know, and he's talked about how their marriage has had their ups and downs. And I kind of thought maybe there's more to this story. Potentially, was there cheating? Was there an affair of some sort? And I couldn't really find anything that spoke to that, anything of substance at least. And it just looks like this is another situation where
just a dissolution.
And Giselle and Tom Brady, where perhaps it just became too much. Maybe you're just over being married to the guy with the very high pressure job. And, you know, I think that. Not to say that she's the reason that they're getting a divorce or anything, but I think it would just be extremely exhausting to be married to someone in that position. And I don't know that I could do it. With all that being said, it's very sad. I hate to see the summer of divorce, but I will be devouring any and all content of their love lives moving forward. I've always had a big crush on Justin Trudeau. I think he's very handsome. And, you know, I'm interested to see who he dates next. And I hope maybe she retires to Vancouver Island, a la Pamela Anderson.
I don't have a crush on Justin Trudeau because I think he's a little weasel, and that's all I'll leave it.
I don't know anything about his politics. I know he's liberal, but I think he's a snack.
I think that he is just like so not a man and so does not stand up for truth and just so just like says whatever the party line is. And it's just sorry, but Justin Trudeau, all his God-given good looks go out the window for me. And anyway, but I do want to tell you though, there is a blonde Chandler in high power that could potentially be interested in Justin Trudeau, unlike me. Okay.
Who?
Taylor Allison Swift.
Oh my gosh.
Because apparently Chandler.
What?
Justin Trudeau. No, I'm serious. This is a rumor. This is a full rumor. Justin Trudeau tweeted, "Don't skip Canada, Taylor, please, on your Eras tour." And that is why she announced the 6 dates in Canada, okay? And there are rumors swirling that there is flirtation going on between the two of them.
The simulation is moving too fast. That's all I have to say. I'm sorry, but
I think Taylor Swift, at this point in her career and where she is at, needs to date world leaders. The only people worthy of her are people who rule nations.
I agree, but it's funny you say that because you think he's a weasel. Do you think he's worthy of her?
No.
Oh, I mean,
In physicality, maybe.
Sure.
But unfortunately, Justin Trudeau might be just Taylor's type and whatever.
We'll see. Okay.
I remain bipartisan on Taylor's behalf for this new relationship.
Thank you, Lauren. One thing I just want to note, Justin Trudeau posted in April of this year a birthday post for his wife that I found to be very sweet and honestly did not tip us off at all. He posted a sweet photo of them hiking where they both look, you know, lovely and natural. And he said, "Happy birthday, Sophie. From this to this and everything in between, there's no one I'd rather have by my side. I love you, mon amour."
Well, it just goes to show you that Instagram is bullshit.
Literally,
except
all
for my
fake.
Instagram. My Instagram is totally real.
And mine.
No, but kind of real. Anyway, I need to turn our attention to a different topic altogether. Is that okay? Can we move forward?
I think so.
All right, Chandler, I want to chat with you about Dave Portnoy. He recently on his podcast or a podcast, I'm not sure, Barstool stands, don't come at me, but he was on the mic recently.
Okay.
And he had a lot to say about Taylor Swift performing in Los Angeles and the potential of a Kim Kardashian in the audience. And I really, before I get into this, I need to refresh everyone's memory on the history between Taylor and Kim. Okay.
There is history.
There is absolutely history. Okay. So to refresh everyone's memory, in case you were asleep for the past 5 years, we're just going to talk about this really quick. Taylor's reputation era, it really began and was spawned by Kim Kardashian calling her a snake and a liar on social media and posting all those snake emojis. So here's how this really happened. In 2016, Kanye released the song Famous, and there was a line in the song where he rapped, "I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex. Why? I made that bitch famous." He's referencing when he stole the mic, when she won Best Music Video and was like, no, Beyonce should have won. If you don't know about that, please talk to your therapist.
Literally.
I can't. I literally cannot. Anyway, cut to a few years later, and Kim Kardashian and Kanye West, they release a documentary about Kanye's music. And as part of that documentary, they basically show Taylor in her own voice agreeing to this song lyric and saying that it's like cool and totally fine with her. And this is what Kim told GQ. She said that Taylor gave her blessing and even came up with the lyric herself. Okay, here's my question. Let's talk about this lyric for a second. "I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex. Why? I made that bitch famous." I mean, Jenna, what pen do you think Taylor wrote this out of? The quill, the fountain pen, or the gel, the sparkly gel ink pen?
I think it's the sparkly gel ink. This totally sounds like her. This is who she is at her core. This is how she thinks of herself.
Absolutely. I could have recognized that as a Taylor Swift lyric any day.
Any day.
Anywhere. Anyway. So the reason people felt so betrayed watching Taylor and listening to Taylor in her own voice saying this lyric was fine was because the same year that the song was released, Taylor won Album of the Year at the Grammys. And in her acceptance speech, she basically made this impassioned speech talking about how men will try to take away your accomplishments, take claim for them, and you should never let a man do that, really pointing the finger at Kanye and obviously implying that she did not approve of the lyric. Also, her friends took to Instagram in all various ways, her celebrity friends condemning Kanye and this song. And so the message from Team Swift and her camp and Taylor herself was she was the victim of being objectified in a horrific way of this lyric that was really degrading. And so that was what Taylor's story was. And people were all on that train until this documentary came out and people were like, wait, is Taylor who we thought she was?
Right.
Or is she bullshitting us?
Right. Well, and didn't we learn that the lyric was different, that Taylor thought the lyric was different?
Well, okay. So not at the time. At the time when this came out, basically Taylor, she just went silent because everyone, they felt so betrayed. I turned on her too. It is one of the things that I will have to live with every day of my life. Turned on Taylor Swift when this happened. And also that I did not consider the source, Chandler, because the source was the Kardashians. Why did I believe them
and not
Taylor Allison Swift, who was just given and given and given?
Right.
Anyway, I'm not going to get into my contrition speech today. I'm going to get into the facts. So fast forward to 2022. Oh, well, also, let's just finish up the history. That's when Reputation, that entire era, was born. That's when Taylor went into hiding. That is when Taylor, her next album that came out, the first six songs of it, everyone, do you want to hear what our karmic rewards were from that? The first six songs of Reputation, that was our karmic rewards. And I'm sorry, but I'm going to call it punishment. Okay. That was a sonic low point for Taylor Allison Swift. And anyway, so it's 2022, Taylor Swift, she has released many albums since. She's obviously, she's back in, as the focal point of pop culture as the queen that she is. And Dave Portnoy has entered the chat surrounding this feud. So I would like to play
this
clip.
I'm curious for what he said, because I feel like he would be Kardashian friendlies. So I'm okay. curious what he's about to say.
Well, I'm going to play the clip for you so you can hear it from Thank the you. Horse's mouth. Is that the phrase, the horse's mouth?
Something about that, yeah. Yeah, okay. That is.
First of all, it would surprise me if she didn't. That's a very Kim move. But if I were Taylor, I would have security waiting at the entrance and I would throw handcuffs on her and drag her to jail. What she did to Kim with Kanye was ridiculous. So a lot of people don't actually know the story, but they edited her phone call and called her a liar. And then the phone call came out years later and backed up everything that Taylor Swift said. So that was kind of what started me on the Swiftie path. When everyone was crucifying her, I'm like, this is not right.
Okay. Actually, while we're here, I didn't plan to play this, but it's another minute of Dave Portnoy talking about Taylor Swift.
Okay.
And
okay.
I think it begs repeating.
Bears repeating.
And bears repeating, Chandler.
Okay. Everybody wants the Taylor Swift concert review. So here it is. I'll wake up. I put my top five.
This is him after going to the Eras tour.
Okay. Yeah.
Yesterday, my favorite live, I loved Enchanted, Getaway Car, which was the special song, Getaway Car Maroon, which people are going bananas. They're like, all the people didn't get to go to MetLife Night One. They're like, MetLife Night One, you guys killed it. It's so unfair. Mother has favorites. It was Maroon, Getaway Car. We had Ice Spice live. We premiered a video. We had a CD. Things were crazy. So, yeah, it was a great show. It was a great show. It was everything I expected. And listen, I'm not like a stadium show guy generally for concerts. I like more intimate stuff. But if you're going to do a stadium show, Taylor Swift is probably like one of the few people on earth who can absolutely kill it. Because not just about how great her catalog is and how great she is as a performer, it's the fans. And I know everyone's like, oh, Prez, you're too old to like Taylor Swift and you shouldn't have 9,000 friendship bracelets and blah, blah, blah. And how do you shut this thing off from blinking? I don't know. But here's the thing. There were people all ages, and everyone had a fucking ball, and everyone knows every single lyric to every single song, and it's high energy, not only from Taylor, but like the whole crowd for like 3.5 hours. Nobody else can do that. Honestly, I don't think anybody else can have that energetic of a crowd dancing, screaming, yelling, and it makes the stadium show electric. So, yeah, it was everything that I expected, everything people said it would be. And honestly, if you hate Taylor Swift, I don't know why you would if you're Kanye or some scumbag, or Scooter Braun, scumbag. But if you hate Taylor Swift, you just hate talent. Like, it's just to see somebody like – a Taylor Swift comes around, I don't know, 5 of them every 100 years, 10 of them. It's a generational talent. They can do a stadium show like that, have everybody hanging on every word. So if you like human talent and appreciate artistry and music and all that, you have to be a Taylor Swift fan. You almost have to go to the concert just to appreciate it. Like, there's no one who can walk in there, and I don't care if you're a Taylor Swift fan or not, and not walk out and be like, she's fucking unbelievable. So yeah, it was a 10 out of 10. Like I said, Enchanted.
Enchanted being Dave Portnoy's, one of his favorite songs, was definitely not something I was expecting this Tuesday or whenever I found that tweet. Anyway, I mean, could we not have put it better ourselves? Is this not heartwarming?
No, I remember watching this, to be honest, when it first.
Oh, really? Oh, really?
I saw it on TikTok before I went to MetLife. Myself.
Your reaction was a little muted, and so now it makes sense.
I've seen it, and I love that he loves Taylor, and I think everything he said is completely true.
Because completely correct. So anyway, I am just going to – let's end this episode, Chandler, on this moment of positivity.
Totally.
Okay? On this life-affirming message, on this man-affirming message. Mm-hmm. No male bashing. Dave Portnoy, thank you for loving Mother Taylor. Okay.
Everyone. Please, we implore you, hit the subscribe button on Pop Apologist. This is a critical thing you can do to help support our podcast. So please hit the subscribe button. If you're feeling extremely generous and charitable, a la starting a church like Kris Jenner, please leave us a review.
Leave us a review. If you leave us a review, you will enter our $500 shopping spree giveaway, which is live to August 15th. So also you can just leave a review and to enter that giveaway. Sorry, a little bit of housekeeping at the end, but just reminding people, we do have some exciting fun stuff going right now. So if you leave us a review or if you share the podcast on your stories, including a link of your favorite episode and why you love the show, you can get entered into winning our $500 shopping spree giveaway. So that's super, super exciting. And then don't forget that this month the show is sponsored by Casita Jewelry. So go to casitajewelry.com for 30% off whatever you want site-wide. Huge discount. Just use code POPAPOLOGIST. And with that, we will see you on Patreon on Friday. Love you guys.
Bye. Love you.
That's all for now, folks. Don't forget, give us a 5-star review, hit us up on Instagram at PopApologists, and we will see you next week, live every Wednesday.